Morning, and it's good that we can be together to worship the Lord together this morning. What a blessing to have some time with you here today. This morning, Lord willing, and I believe that He is, we're going to talk a bit about financial stewardship. Now, that's one of those subjects that when it comes around, it just seems like it's one of those hard and difficult things to talk about. And so often, the reason for that thinking is that we have preconceptions and ideas and all kinds of thought. In other words, why would a pastor teach on financial stewardship? Well, it depends who you talk to, you know. Some people will, they've got their reasons. In fact, you may be here this morning even as a visitor and you think, I told you if we go to church, they're going to talk about money. Well, visit with somebody who's a regular attender here. They probably can't tell you the last time we talked about money. I literally can't remember. Isn't that something? So it's about time, isn't it, Edie? It's about time. Why would a pastor talk to a congregation of people that he cares about money? I didn't mean for this to be the introduction, but I'm going to just take you to Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. This is the reason, or one of the reasons at least, that I would talk to you about financial stewardship this morning. It's an Old Testament passage. It's one of those passages that is often brought into the conversation, the teaching of financial stewardship of this Christian life. But it is the Word of God. Don't misunderstand that. Don't discount it because it's Old Testament. And this is what God spoke through the prophet Malachi. This is what he says. Will a man rob God? Question mark. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you, God? God answers, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even as a nation. Now he changes the instruction a bit. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. You ask me, why would a pastor teach on financial stewardship? Because I believe our management of money brings results in our lives. What you and I do with what God has given us is going to make a difference in the quality of our life. God said if we don't honor Him with our finances, if we in fact rob God, and we're going to talk about what that means in a little bit here, if we in fact rob God, not honoring Him in our financial stewardship, the Old Testament prophet says there's a curse. There's a curse on us. The blessing that God wants to bestow can't be realized. It's not allowed to light, as it were, on our lives because we're robbing God. But if we are obedient, God says, bring the tithe, honor me with your finances, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing to the extent that you just won't be able to contain it. So there's real results in our lives, real financial results, I believe, in our lives as a result of our stewardship of what God has given us. And I don't want you to struggle financially. I don't want to see you struggling financially. Now, I'm not saying that if you're doing well financially, that that means everything's good with you and God. Don't misunderstand me. But if things are good with you financially as a Christian, I'm thankful for that. And if you're struggling this morning, I want the struggle to come to an end. And I think oftentimes the struggle that we are experiencing comes because we fail to understand God's direction for us in the area of financial stewardship. And so this morning, I think this will be more teaching than it will be preaching. We'll share some information, some things we need to know about our management of what God has given to us. And before we do that, let's pray. Our God and Father, help me this morning to accurately and clearly speak your word for this people this morning. Thank you that you have a plan for blessing, and that plan entails our good stewardship of what you have so generously given to us financially. So bless us, guide us, give us direction for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When we talk about financial stewardship, when we're going to just talk about money, let's just narrow it this morning. I think we need to begin by acknowledging the fact that God is the giver of all we have. James 1:17 says that every good gift comes from heaven, comes down from God. It's from God. It's the evidence of his blessing. If the income you have, if the wages you earn, if what you have in your hands as finances that you say, this is mine, if it's good, it's from God. And everything that we have, indeed, he is the giver. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. We talk about stewardship, and stewardship is simply the management of property that belongs to another. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells the story of the rich man, the wealthy landowner who went away on a journey, and in his absence he left some of his possessions to his servants. We know it as the parable of the talents. And to one he gave 5 talents. You might be interested to know the value of 5 talents. To the one he gave about $110,000. To another he gave 2 talents. And to another 1, to each according to his own ability. We understand that we, having in hand what God has given to us, are called to responsible management of the things that we call our own, but acknowledge as having come from God. I think with information, we need some inspiration. We need something in our teaching this morning that moves us from head knowledge to life application. And that comes in the form of inspiration. You see, stewardship is about activity. You go back to the parable of the talents, and we find that those men were doing something with what their master had given to them, even if all they were doing was burying it in the ground and saying, I was afraid of you. I know that you were a harsh and master, and so I just buried it. At least they did something. Stewardship is about activity. But to talk about financial stewardship, we must ask ourselves, is this a teaching more about money or more about the use of money? I don't know what you make on any given week. Let's just round it off to $1,000, okay? And we're going, yes, that would be fine. Just round my weekly income round it to $1,000. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, $950. $1,000. Whoa. How much does God care about this? How much does God really care about money? Well, if he doesn't, I sure do. And that's exactly where God begins to care about it. We think about money, and what if money, there was a buried treasure, a pirate's chest of gold somewhere, or an investment that can be made to earn hundreds and thousands of dollars, or something out there that has all this kind of potential for increase. How much does God really care about money? Does God care about it? I share with you this morning my conviction that God cares about money only in the context of its effect and influence in the lives of people. You take people out of the equation and God doesn't care about money. What's money? What is money? But anytime this begins to affect you or me, or anytime this begins to have an influence in our lives and begins to be directive or somehow channel our time and energy, anytime it begins to touch the lives of people, God cares about money. I think we are reminded, must understand this morning, attach a personal noun or pronoun to money, and God cares about it. But without people, it's no big deal to God. And then there's a little warning. Maybe we should just share this. Maybe we should have started here. Whenever God is good enough to teach us to do good, whenever God is good enough to teach us to do good, there is a danger of us not doing what we are told to do. James 4:17 says, in fact, if you know the right thing to do and don't do it, that for you is sin. And the last thing I would want to do this morning is to add to your sin. The last thing I want to do. And I don't want to dismiss you. I don't want you to leave. But I want you to understand that what we're going to talk about this morning, I believe, is God's Word. And God is good enough to teach us to do good. And if you and I don't do it, it's sin. If you hear something this morning that is God's Word to you, and you don't do it, it's sin. So now for head knowledge and life application. What does Scripture say about stewardship? And of course, this isn't a conclusive study. We think of tithing. And you've often heard in the church the use of this term tithing. It's an Old Testament Judeo concept carried into the life of the New Testament Christian church. You need to know that tithing didn't begin with the Hebrews. Tithing was a religious concept. It's not just belonging to the Jews. It didn't just begin with Abraham. Tithing is a religious concept that, as we read through the Old Testament, we found that it was a standard that God initiated in his life and relationship with his people. From the very beginning, With Abraham, the father of Israel, we find this insight. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, Abraham has rescued his relatives from a band of marauding kings. He's found success. He recaptures a significant spoil, and he brings the loot, as it were, with him. Now remember, tithe is a tenth part, a tenth part. It is the sacred part that in the religious realm belongs to God and his representatives. So Abraham, with all that he has gained in his success in the battle, brings that loot with him. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 14 that Abraham gives a tithe of all to the king and priest of the city of Salem. We know the city to be Jerusalem. It's here that the very groundwork of the Old Testament practice of the Hebrew people tithing is initiated. Abraham, in his success, in the gain that God has given him, acknowledges God in giving a tenth part to Melchizedek, the king and priest of Jerusalem. The practice of tithing in the Old Testament unfolds as we read of Jacob's vow to the Lord in Genesis 28. We read there, "Of all that you give me, I will surely give a tithe to you." In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22, the Jewish religious law stated, "You shall surely tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year." And then, of course, we read this morning from Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, that talk about the curse that comes from withholding the tithe and the blessing that comes in giving that tenth part to God. But what about tithing in the New Testament? We know so much about it in the Old Testament. What bearing does it have on us as New Testament believers? Let's listen to the words of Jesus. And he doesn't say a lot about tithing, but there's a wonderful, insightful account in Matthew 23, 23. Jesus is rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees. They are strong advocates of tithing, but they have rejected Jesus' teachings about moral character. And this is Jesus' response to them. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." What does Jesus say about tithing? Keep tithing. What does Jesus say about tithing? Keep doing it. Do that and add these other things. And now, with tithing, I would call your attention to generosity. Generosity is not foreign to the Old Testament as far as stewardship. In Exodus 35, verse 5, it says, "Take from among you an offering from the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord." Now the next 4.5 verses give a list of those things that were given by those who have a willing heart, the things that they brought as an offering to the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 29:9, this is a wonderful little insightful verse. David is gathering materials for the temple that his son Solomon will build. This verse tells about the response of the people of Israel. It says, "Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. Note, it's a matter of their relationship and their heart toward the Lord. They had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Do we see here the people are rejoicing in the opportunity that God has given them to give generously? Note, in that passage, again from 1 Chronicles 29, it says that in that offering, Israel gave over 188 tons of gold. They gave 377 tons of silver, 679 tons of bronze, and almost 4,000 tons of iron for the construction of the temple. They gave so with willing hearts toward God. So generosity is not just something that shows up in the New Testament. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about acts of charity. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, as Luke writes about the life of the early church, he talks about them having a generous heart or generous hearts towards one another. Read verse 46 when it talks about their day-to-day relationships. They had generous hearts in their relationship with one another. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, Paul writes about the call to abound in the grace of giving. And then, as we read this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the generosity of the sower determines the outcome of the harvest, at least in part. So Paul says, Those who sow generously reap generously, choose a life of generosity. It's just a general principle. When it comes to living, be generous. And when it comes to stewardship of our finances, we are, again, as New Testament believers, called to generosity. It's interesting that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit, we read of goodness. We read that term goodness in our modern translations. But in ordinary conversation, the subject of that goodness is a spirit of generosity. Who's good? Who's really going to express themselves in goodness? It's going to be those who have a spirit of generosity. You say this about somebody, man, they are just so good. What are you? You're going to be including a spirit of generosity. Without that generosity, goodness is not manifest. And as we look to the very present and productive work, the spiritually productive work of the Spirit of God in the lives of you and I who name the name of Jesus, there is going to be a spirit of generosity. It's just one of the fruit of the Spirit. So, summaries and conclusions. We believe that all we have comes from God. Your boss meets you on Friday afternoon on your way out from work, and it doesn't come in cash unless you're in a covert operation. But he places your wages in your hands, and we receive those wages with an acknowledgement that this has come from God. This belongs to God. This is his. We believe that he will supply everything we need. I think that's another second critical dimension of good stewardship. We believe that as God has given us what we have and that all we have belongs to him, we begin to talk about tithe. Let's just talk about tithe. A tenth part of $1,000 is what? $100, okay. In fact, I think one of the principles of that kind of stewardship is on the first day of the week, the first fruits of our increase, we make sure that we take care of first things first. So we've taken care of that. But we're here now left with how much? $900. And I was hoping to scrape by on 1,000. We believe that not only does everything everything that we have belong to God, but we believe that God is able to supply all our needs. And because He has ordained a plan of financial stewardship where we understand the tenth part belongs to Him, and we do that, I want to just share with you my conviction. And if we have time, we'll take time for questions and answers here before we're done this morning. But I want you to know, you can do with $900 what you can never do with $1,000. Amen? You say to God, how am I going to do it with this? How am I going to possibly make ends meet with what you have given me? With $1,000, I just don't see how it can happen. God says the answer is in doing it with 900. Amen? Because this belongs to Him, and He has promised to supply all of your needs. This is the tithe, the tenth part. Now, well, since we're here, we'll just do this. Let's just say that I've got some bills coming up this week. And God knows, so I'll just do it that way. You're happy with that, aren't you? Huh? Well, I'm tithing 5% now. I'm tithing 5%. No, you're not. You're giving part of your tithe, but you are not tithing 5%. Add another 50 with it, and now you're tithing. But you're not tithing yet. You're giving a part of your tithe, now you're tithing, okay? Just for our hands-on understanding here. Or somebody else says, now we're going to talk about generosity. And I know I'm jumping around a little bit here, but this is a key point here. I'm going to do this so I don't fall. Now hear this. What is the standard for New Testament Christian financial stewardship? A minimum of 10%, but the standard is generosity. The standard is generosity. A minimum of 10%, but the standard is generosity. Now, we talked about somebody who would give 5% and say, I'm tithing 5%. No, you're not tithing until you give 10%. That belongs to God. But what about the person that says, man, my heart is generous toward God. I wanna do that. And then they'll say, well, I'm tithing 20%. No, you're not. You're tithing and giving an offering of 10%. This is not tithe. This is tithe. This is offering. And that's why we talk about tithe and offering. The minimum and the generosity. This is where we get to love God with our money. We've given what belongs to Him, the tenth part. We acknowledge Him as the giver. We acknowledge our dependence upon Him, that He's going to supply all of our needs. And look at this is what, wow, look at what He has done. But I got groceries. And we paid the utility bill and the rent. And I put half a tank of gas in my car. And look at what's left over. And my heart cries out to God in thanksgiving. I have a heart of generosity. And there's a missions project that I'm aware of. or there's a Sunday school, or there's a building fund. Praise God that I can give. Amen? And I think we can go out for supper, dear. Isn't God good? Amen. It's not that I've tithed 400%. I've tithed and given an offering, a generous offering, because God has been generous with me. But what happens if I try to get by on that when He has given me all of this? The Old Testament verse says, I've robbed God. And there's a curse that comes with that. It's not like, no, that word curse. The blessing of God is withheld. That's what it is. There's a consequence, a negative consequence. And I want you to know, if you've earned $1,000 this week, you can't live on $950 if this is what you put in the offering as your tithe and offering. Do you hear me? You and I are going to come up short because we have robbed God, and the blessing of God is not on our finances. So this morning, I would invite you to believe God and to obey His word. In fact, I'm just sharing with you my conviction. I'm not asking you to get in trouble with the bank. I'm not asking you to get in a predicament where they shut off your electricity. But I'm telling you this. It is time to just do it right and to see what God does good. You know what I was about to say? You won't believe it, but you will believe it. Remember the Malachi verse? I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, the measure of which you will not be able to contain. What he is saying there is that you're going to run out of bills long before you run out of bills. That's what he's saying. And you are going to say, how is this possible? How did this happen? And God will, if He's merciful to you and gracious, or if He has a husband and wife that is hearing from the Lord better than you are, will say, it's God, honey. It's God. This is God. God would speak to us this morning and call us to obedience, that the bondage of disobedience would be broken and we would literally be set free in our finances. You say, well, Pastor, I didn't know that. The things that you're talking about this morning, I just didn't realize. I thought if I did this and that was enough and everything was good. And I'm telling you, God's got something good in store for you that you haven't tasted and experienced yet. Now, it may not have been disobedience on your part, but after this morning, you're in a whole heap of trouble. Amen. If you don't heed the word of the Lord and find out what He does with the 90% that is your discretionary fund. Amen? Amen. Do this right. Do this right. And God will keep His word. Now, somebody's going to go home and go down to the or go down to the restaurant and say, you know, that Pastor Don was preaching some kind of prosperity gospel that you give $100 to God and He'll give $900 to you. And amen. It's just like I told you it would be. No. It's just like God said it is. And whatever you have, whether it's 1,000 or whether it's 100 or whether it's 10, You know the story. I told you the story before. The pastor went out to talk to his hog farmer. Did you hear the story? He said, Pete, if you had 1,000 pigs, what would you do? He said, Pastor, if I had 1,000 pigs, Pastor, I'd give 100 pigs to the Lord. So Pete, if you had 100 pigs, Pete, what would you do with, Pete, if you had 100 pigs, what would you do with your pigs? He says, Pastor, if I had 100 pigs, I'd give 10 to the Lord. Pete, if you had 10 pigs, Pete, what would you do if you had 10 pigs? And he said, Pastor, you know I got 10 pigs. It's not a matter of whether you got $1,000 or $100 or $10 or a dime. God says, I want to bless you. And my blessing comes as you acknowledge me as the giver of every good and perfect gift, as you acknowledge my ability to take care of you and to supply all of your needs, as you understand that tithing and giving is God's plan for the proclamation of the gospel and the winning of souls to Jesus Christ. Amen. So, time's flying, but we're having fun. Some background as far as the financial life of our congregation. You need to hear this morning that the financial income of this congregation comes from the tithes and offerings that are given. There is no regular financial support given by the denomination, either from the general church offices or from our regional church offices. The income of this church is the income of this church. So whatever we give, whatever comes from outside individuals from this congregation, it's not a matter of denominational support. It is a matter of the support of people, you, me, this congregation. The management of that income that is given to the Garrison Church of God falls to the lot of the Church and Pastors Council. They serve as a financial committee overseeing the financial dealings of the church. The council makes routine financial decisions, and those decisions that are more than routine are brought to the congregation before major expenses are incurred. Checks are issued, bills are paid by our church clerk, and that's just the way things kind of work here in the life of the Garrison Church of God. Just a note in regards to tithe and offering envelopes. You may have used those envelopes even this morning, and you'll note different designations. Again, the tithe is that first tenth part for the support of pastor and ministry programs of the local church. The offerings include everything from general fund, the operating expenses, to designated giving such as Sunday school, building fund, missions. Those things are a part of the offering side of the ledger. Now you may say, well, Pastor, does it matter if I'm paying or giving tithe that I mark it tithe? Or does it really make any difference how I designate it? Let me just say this. We as a congregation pay a tithe on our tithe to our general church offices and our regional church offices. Whatever comes in as tithe, let's say that $1,000 came in this morning, $1,000 in tithe to the local church. From this amount, an amount equal to 7% of this, or $70, would be sent to our general offices in Cleveland, Tennessee, as part of our monthly report. Of that 7%, just over 2% of that goes to world missions. So we send an amount equal to 7% of our tithe income to our general offices. 2.25% of that 7% goes to world missions. The remaining part goes to the general operation of the Church of God. We also, on a monthly basis, send a check in the amount of that is equal to 70% of our tithe to our regional offices. So $70 would be sent to Bismarck, North Dakota, for the support of our regional program and the programs that they promote. You say, well, Pastor, what kind of programs are those? Everything from youth camp to Winterfest to camp meeting to ladies retreat. Those are the things that take place. Everything from the support of this congregation, pastoral appointments, those kinds of things are all overseen by the regional offices. So they minister to us and we give in support of that ministry. I would note and bring to your attention this morning that if you have if you put $100 in the offering this morning and didn't mark it for anything, didn't designate it for anything, if you put $100 in the offering this morning in a tithe envelope or not, in an envelope or not, and simply gave it as an offering, not non-designated, this will be designated as tithe. This will be designated as tithe as far as the books and the bookkeeping of the local church. So if you give $100 and $50 of it is tithe and $50 of it is building fund, let's just say building fund, and you don't designate, the total $100 will be designated as tithe, and we will be tithing of that tithe to our general church and regional church offices. It's 12 o'clock. I know it's time for dinner, but we've covered some things here that I think need to be covered, and I hope will be not only informative, but inspirational for you. Do you have a question or two or three that you would want to ask before we are dismissed? I know we don't normally do this, as far as questions and answers on. Now, go to the restaurant and tell them that. Yeah, you wouldn't believe what happened. We had question and answer after the sermon. Pastor Don gave us some time to ask questions if we had them. Questions in regards to what has been shared this morning. Edie. For you? I think scripture.
Yeah.
I do believe this, and of course, Dave Ramsey would have some advice for us here. But I think there's two points of contact there. The first thing is to tithe, the first fruits, the. If I have $1,000 in my hands, I know immediately that the tenth part of that is God's.